Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the dapper dawn. Giving a mug on, dress like a million bucks, bucks, things in its cuffs. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, everybody out there listening to me. For Steve Harvey. Put your hands together.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. Of one and only Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Got a radio show and got something to say, too. Man, I thank God for it. I thank God for my life. I thank God for how in the midst of storms, he calms me. You know, I was going through another trial in my life, you know, which is life is going to always be that. You know, it's a... I think the things that I say on the radio, I want you all to understand that I do so have to put them into practice all the time. And I was going through something yesterday, and I don't know how long I'll be going through it, but I'll be fine however long it takes, because I have something, man. I'm going to share it with you. A lot of you got it, but I don't think sometimes we appreciate it until we have to use it. And that thing that we got is prayer. Prayer is available to every single person. Prayer is so important, man. It's so important. I'm not afraid to say it, though. It's so, so important to you, because it's such a comfort. It's such an island that you can go to. I was going through something yesterday, and somebody close to me knew about it, and they sent me something in the middle of it. And it said simply that God does not guarantee us a life free from trouble, but he does promise to be our refuge in the midst of the storm. See, and that was so cool for me, because, you know, oftentimes I'm on the radio and I'm talking. And I know you all think I'm talking to you, but like I said, oftentimes I'm just talking to myself, man, because I'm just like you. I'm just a human being trying to get through. I happen to come under attack, as does everybody else. I got trials and tribulations just like everybody else. So when I'm talking to myself a lot of times. And all of us are faced with things. But the beautiful thing, and one of the things I've always said, that on your way to success, there's going to be opposition. I've always said that the road to success is always under construction. I have always said these things. But I also have to hear these things. And I, even whoever I am, and all of us have to apply these things. And see, when I was sitting there going through it, man, somebody texted to me that just simply said that God does not guarantee us a life free from trouble, but he does promise to be our refuge in the midst of the storm. And you know, man, what prayer enables you to do is have just a little closer relationship with God. It allows you to form a barricade when necessary. It allows you to have a place to go when necessary. It provides you a place of shelter when it get real, real windy and real, real funky for you. When the bullets and arrows is flying, there's a place that you can tuck yourself. I always like to refer to it as under his wings. I like to get tucked under his wings when the bullets and arrows is flying. You know, I do realize, man, through my life, and I've been taught this over and over and over, Isaiah 43:1-2, that someone to the effect that you can walk through the fire and you will not get burned, nor will kindling set upon your clothing. And what I learned from that scripture, y'all, was simply this, that if you do have this relationship with God, if you are making an attempt to be righteous, trying to live your life to the best, you ain't stepping on nobody, trying to hurt nobody, you're giving God some glory, you're talking with him, you know, you're making some mistakes along the way, but you know what I'm saying? You ain't just mailing it in. You are consciously trying to be a righteous person. Then there's a promise that he gives to you, that he would be there for you. Now, here's the promise. The promise says something just like this, that you will be able to walk through the fire and not get burned, nor will kindling set upon your clothing. Now, what that means to me, my interpretation of it, real simple. Some things are going to happen to you. And when they happen to you, it's not his doing. When you come under attack, when the haters come for you, it's never his doing. But he gonna walk with you though and allow you to walk through the fire and you will not get burned. That's amazing, man, because I got a little fire going on right now. But guess what? They can't consume me with it, because in their attempts to do what they do to you, to me, to anybody that's trying to go somewhere, mind your business, in their attempts to do what they're setting out to do, here's a problem with that now. If you got God, if you use this little weapon of prayer that he gives you, he'll provide you a refuge. But he'll let you walk through the fire and you will not get burned. Now, the part where it talks about won't no kindling set upon your clothing, that's kind of like if you've been in a house that's been on fire before, you know, you can walk in and soot on the walls. It's a smell in the air. You can see the damage. I mean, a house that's been on fire, until the repairs come, the restoration, you can walk in there and know that there's been a fire. Weeks later, after the house has been on fire, you can walk in because you can smell it. You can see the singe marks. But here's the difference. Houses, you know, I'm talking about just structural buildings, they don't have ongoing relationship with God. So I ain't talking about your temple or church or nothing, so please don't go there. I'm just telling you a fact. A house does not possess a soul. A person possesses a soul. So your relationship with God is where your refuge is. So now here we go. When you have a little walk with God, when you got some faith in him, hear what happens to you, y'all. When they come for you, when they attack you, the part that it says you won't get burned, but the no kindling, that means when it's over, no kindling was set upon you. That'll mean there won't be no soot on you. There won't be no singe marks on you. You won't smell like you've been on fire. You won't even look like you've been nowhere near a fire. But the whole time, the fire was raging all around you. But there's a place that you can go when your life is on fire, when you come under attack. There's a spot. There's a spot if you know God. If you're just trying to be righteous, if you just go over there and get over there by him just a little bit, y'all, if you just send up some earnest prayers and pray it and mean what you say, there's a spot you can go that you can tuck under his wings. And you'll walk through the fire and you won't get burned. Now, here's the part, though. I want you to feel me now. It did not say in there that it would not get ungodly hot. That's the cold part now. Come on, y'all. Because what did I tell you that the dude text me the other day? What did I just tell you? I just simply said that God does not guarantee us a life free from trouble, but he does promise to be our refuge in the midst of the storm. Now, I'm in one right now. But I want you to understand something. When you come for me, you don't come from somebody that's standing over there by himself. I have a relationship with him. And I use continually on a daily basis, more than three times a day, that beautiful little gift, that weapon of prayer that he's given to me. So while the storm is raging, I want everybody to know I'm just fine. I'm uncomfortable. I don't like it. I do not like what happens to me, no more than you like what happens to you. But I got news for you, though. I'm so covered, and I stand there in that place of refuge, man, and I drink that up. And, man, today I'm telling you, man, God's promises are true, that he'll be with you in the midst of a storm, that he'll hold your hand. God's promises are true. All you got to do is lean on him. You feel me? Check it out.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies, boys, gentlemen, women, this is the Steve Harvey Morning Show. What we're about to do today, I like that lead up there. What we're about to do today is let the ignorance begin.
Yes,
good
sir.
Morning, Shirley.
Good morning, Steve.
Hello, Carla.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Wonderful, Junior.
Morning, Ock.
And the ignorant one, the fool, nephew, Tommy.
Top of the morning, Uncle Steve.
Yeah, man. So what's happening today, y'all? What's going on? Anything I can just, you know, y'all want anything from me today? You need anything from me today? Today is called I'm Here.
You just here.
I'm here all of you, anybody, callers, I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. This is Steve Harvey Here Day. I am here today. Anything you want, I don't care what it is. No holds barred, no limits.
No limits.
You go first, Tommy.
I'm taking requests.
Well, let me
don't ask me for no damn money.
Okay, I know that was coming.
Okay.
Let me move back down on my list then.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
go ahead.
I'm out.
You go first, Tommy. List. Yeah.
Money off, okay.
I got my apartment straight in L.A.
Uh-huh.
Nah, I need a vehicle. You got a Rolls that you ain't really using.
Hmm.
So.
Come on, nephew.
That's just like asking.
Do you think it's possible that I can use that till I get on my feet?
Well, let me ask you this right here. Hmm. Is there a reason why you won't ship your Rolls from where it is parked, cause so then it'll be sitting and doing nothing. And why don't you ship it out here where it can keep earning its keep? Cause you owe on yours.
What that got to do if it's paid off or not? You owe on yours.
See, if you owe on yours, then your car need to be out here doing some duty. You all changing and, you know, tire rotating and tune ups and gas, and he need to earn his keep. So what I don't want you to do, Tommy, is be sending your money in to these people and your car just over there chilling.
Yeah, you need to go to work.
Man, see how helpful I am today?
Man. You are. You're next question.
Now, Carla and Shirley, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Did not that make perfectly good sense?
To me, it did. I don't know why he didn't think of it himself. Yeah.
Wasn't it kind?
Yes, it was. And I applaud you for that, Steve.
And
yes.
Shirley, I'm going to be kind all day.
Whoa.
What?
I don't care what you say to me. I'm not going to be mean about it. I'm going to be kind.
Okay,
ooh,
big lips.
Push your buttons.
Okay, big lips. Let's go. Well,
Shirley, now you can't throw rocks.
No, it's no problem.
He's going to be kind no matter what.
You can call me Big Lips. Anybody with bug eyes has the right to call another person Big Lips. I accept that. Let this day begin.
All right, today is the last day of Black History Month, and we got to get those little known Black History facts in, okay? Sometimes we miss them. It's a short month. So it's time for something funny. We'll be back at 32 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Let's go. It is time for the last day of our little known Black History facts on this last day of Black History Month. Wow.
Here it is. First African American
Okay.
To all drop right. the mic was Randy Watson from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. That is the first person to actually drop
not
the mic.
Is that the Randy Watson from Coming to America?
Yeah. That's the Randy Watson. That's it. Light blue tuxedo. Randy Watson, first one to
sexy
drop the
chocolate.
Mic.
Honestly, I thought it was Steve. Honestly, all these years.
No, it was not Steve.
I thought it was Steve
Harvey.
It was
Randy Watson.
It's all right, though. Go ahead.
He's been laying it out waiting for that.
You made it famous, Steve.
Oh, I got Modo.
Yeah, I tell you what. You know, have y'all ever wondered why it is necessary for us to sit still during a thunderstorm?
Yeah. Hmm.
Y'all ain't even know. Well, it was because of Berliner Big Bomber Babineau, who was the first person to believe that during a thunderstorm, anything could get you struck by lightning. She the first one.
What?
Yeah, she's the first one to believe that anything you did could get you struck by lightning. Like, who is that doing all that breathing? Hush! You're going to get struck by lightning.
You can breathe.
Who is that in there eating chips? Cut all that chewing out, you're going to get struck by lightning.
Anything.
Anything. You couldn't do nothing at her house. Who is that doing all that blinking in here? You're going to get struck by lightning, sure.
Whatever it's about eyes, here you come.
Here's a very small one that y'all didn't know about.
Okay, let us know.
These are very long, very little unknown Black history moments.
Yes,
I can believe it.
Rutha Mae Jenkins.
Yeah,
Rutha Mae.
The first Black woman to ever roll her eyes.
What? What?
First one. Rutha Mae Jenkins. Was first in a one. Field one day.
Mm-hmm. The field.
Overseer came by and said, if you don't fill up this bag, without even looking at him, she rolled her damn eyes.
Okay, thank you, because I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No, that's
check
what
this out. This right here, 19... I think it was about 1968. Jasper Jenkins was sweeping up Bayless Juke Joint. You understand that? Jasper Jenkins sweeping up Bayless Juke Joint.
Yeah.
Swept up everything. Couldn't find no dustpan nowhere. He looked and looked. Finally, he got tired. Went over there to where the man play records at. Grabbed Etta James' album and use that as the dustpan. He is the first person to use an album cover as a dustpan. Remember that, Jasper
Come
Jenkins.
Come on, Jasper.
All right, Jasper.
Jasper Jenkins.
Wow, see, you never know these things.
Yeah. You don't know these things.
Yeah, people don't talk Drop about knowledge. It. Yeah. Yeah. We need to know our history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a partner.
Got to know your history.
Come on, let's go.
I got a partner that, you fight dog. He fought a dog before.
What?
Fought dog? One. Yeah. Fought one, but he ain't the first person to do so. It was Edgar Right Hand J. Livingston, first Black person to knock out a pit bull, smooth out.
What
happened?
I don't know, but he the first one we saw. Other dogs then retreated and locked themselves in their own kennel.
Let me tag that because what was his name again?
Edgar Right Hand J. Livingston.
I remember. Because my great-great-grandfather passed that story down.
Really?
Edgar had escaped.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The hounds was on him.
Oh, God.
He had cut across the river.
How you doing, Carla?
And that one pit bull hound stayed on that track and shot across the river and saw him finna climb up in the tree. Mm. Edgar turned around, knocked his ass smooth out. Went on to freedom.
Went right on by the
And later opened up the first peach cobbler selling company.
What?
Yeah.
What is that going to get?
How we get to that?
Peach cobbler.
Yeah, but that boy can make some peach cobbler.
When he got the freedom, he found his talent.
Dog.
That right hand?
That right hand.
Because he had ran across a couple peach groves when he escaped.
Uh-huh.
And he kept them in his pocket. And they got hot in that sun and melted. And that's when he discovered, hell, if you put bread with this, I'll be damned.
Oh, really?
This peach cobbler.
We're doing little-known Black history
here
facts.
Right, here it is.
Mm-hmm. We need to know our history.
Yeah.
Harold Melling.
Harold.
Harold Melling.
Harold Melling last name Water, was the first person in church to ever get in an argument and whisper the famous words, meet me outside.
At church?
That was the first time.
You can put that anywhere.
It was at church. And he got in an argument, and he couldn't say what he wanted to say, so he leaned over and he said, meet me outside. And to this day, everybody know that if you go outside, you're going to get your ass whooped.
Thank you, Harold.
Little known Black History facts. Let's go.
1961, Memphis, Tennessee, 5 o'clock in the evening. Ernestine Petaway was washing her clothes at a laundromat. Folks called her Steen. Everybody knew her. Mm. It was kind of packed in there. Right when she was getting ready to move stuff from the washer to the dryer, a lady intercepted her dryer. That lady right there was Norma Jean Kirkpatrick. Now, the fight started, but before it started, Ernestine took her earrings off. She is the first lady to take her earrings off before a fight and whoop Norma Jean's ass.
Right there.
I'm sorry. Right there, Memphis, Tennessee, 1961.
I have one quick one.
All right, hurry. Yes, Steve. Little known Black History facts.
Uncle Thomas Wright.
Okay.
Will later be known as Uncle Tom. The first black person that they had put in charge of the other black people when Massa wasn't around. Yeah. And that's when the term H-N-I-C was born.
All right, coming up next, Nephew Tommy will run that prank back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann is going to be here with today's national news. But right now, the nephew is on deck with Run That Prank Back. What you got, Neff?
Well, we're going to run that thing back. It is Spike. Asian cleaners. Belt loops.
Come on, Spike.
Be quiet, Steve.
There you go. There you go. Come on, go to sleep now.
Hello?
Is this the cleaners?
Yeah, this is the cleaner.
Is this the cleaners?
This is the cleaner.
Okay, hey, listen, I be bringing my clothes to y'all out of town. Somebody done messed up a pair of my pants.
Oh, the pants. You know the feet of pants?
Say what?
The pants is no feet, you. You bring it in. We feet it for you.
No. Y'all done already messed up enough. What I'm trying to say right here is that whoever did the pants took the belt loops off the pants.
Or who don't want the pants?
Who the what?
Who washed your pants?
Y'all the people. I told y'all I wanted starch in my jeans. You know, I told y'all I want to make sure my jeans stand up by themselves. Okay, y'all put the starch in it, but the problem is y'all took the belt loops off the pants.
Do you pay already? Do you pay?
Say what?
Do you pay?
Yeah, I paid y'all the damn money. Y'all gave me the pants. I ain't know the belt loose wasn't on there till I got on.
What's your name? What's your name?
Washington.
What?
Washington.
The what?
Washington.
What's your first name? Your first name?
I don't never leave my first name. I'm always Washington.
I had to find a receipt to see what's wrong with your pants. Did your last name what?
Washington.
Oh, hi.
Beck, why you can't understand what I'm trying to say to you?
Wait. Who to help you with your clothes? Who the person to help you with the clothes?
The lady that I always be in the front is the one that helped me. The older lady. She the one that always helped me.
Let me see, okay? You do it.
What is you saying to her?
No, she's not here.
I need you to speak English. This is an English situation.
Okay. She not speak it. Okay, so I translate for her. Okay, she not here. You want to call? Come tomorrow. Then we help you with the clothes. Okay, but
no, nobody
here.
Hold on. You ain't understanding me. My belt loops is off my pants.
We know to take it. It did not. We don't have it here. We just wash the clothes. We don't take the
dirt. Y'all did do that. Y'all did take the belt loose
you wait, okay? Okay?
I what?
Wait, okay?
Yeah, wait. Go ahead.
Cái thằng này đó, nó nói là nó đem cái quần vô để sửa. Cái sau sửa làm sao, cái gì nịt nó mang không được. Tại vì mấy cái ấy mà...
I told you English, didn't I?
We try to help the problem, okay?
I understand you try to help the problem, but this is an English problem. I need you to be speaking English when you're trying to handle what's going on right here. Say what?
I speak the English to you. I don't understand what you say.
I say I need you to speak English. You're not speaking English.
I just speak the English to you. Why you're not here?
Now, look, you know what? Hold up. All I'm saying is this right here. Somebody got my damn belt loose and it took them out of my pants, and somebody finna put these back on.
We told you that we'll fix the pants, okay? And you bring it in, and, you know, there's nothing I can do for you on the phone, okay? You want to fix the pants, you have to bring in another day, okay?
No, it ain't okay. I ain't finna bring in nothing.
What do you want me to do on the phone, okay? If I don't have the pen, how am I going to fix it? You have to bring it in tomorrow, okay? The father will be here tomorrow. You bring it in, okay? That's it.
Who's going to be there tomorrow?
It's very busy today. I don't have time to do this on the phone, okay?
Hey, no, it ain't okay. Y'all going to fix my pen.
No, you know, you to pay the money, okay? I always say I just fix it, okay? You sit on the phone and you scream and you yell, and then nothing I can do for you.
No, you ain't supposed to do it for me. You finna fix my damn pen. Y'all
just
took the pen loose on my pen.
Okay? I don't have to fix anything, okay? We here to help you, but if you don't want to work with us, then no, we cannot help you, okay?
Hey, let me tell you something. Y'all gonna make me come over there and whoop some up in there tomorrow.
You come here, okay? You come here and you talk to us, okay? And I have the police here. I have the police here, and then you take it with them, okay?
When somebody gonna put my damn belt loose back on my pants, then? That's all I'm saying,
okay,
right?
Okay, you don't yell at me, okay?
Say what?
You don't yell at me, okay? You want to talk to him? He take care of you tomorrow,
who gonna
okay?
Take care of me tomorrow?
You have a problem, you talk to him.
Who gonna take care of me?
The father, he come here, you talk to him, and you mess with him, then he take care of you,
your
okay?
Your dad ain't finna do nothing to me
tomorrow. I don't deal with you, okay?
Your dad, he better have them damn belt loops. That's what he better have.
No, he don't have to do nothing, okay? Because we not mess up your pet. We try to help you. You got a problem, you talk to him, and he will kick your ass, okay?
He gonna do what?
He gonna kick your ass.
He gonna kick my ass. Is that what you just said? Hold up. Did you just say your daddy was going to kick my
Yeah, he going to take care of you, and we're going to go to police, okay? You go to jail, okay?
Okay, look here. I got something else I need to say to y'all. Is you listening?
I hear what?
I said, is you listening?
What do you want? What's the problem, huh?
Hey, do you have a man that worked for you and your cleaner's name John?
You want to talk to John?
No. My name is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got prank phone call by John that works in your cleaners.
What? John did tell you to call me? To fix your pen? What did John call me?
Is this Sue?
What is your name?
Is your name Sue?
That's my name.
You always get mad at John for listening to the radio in the morning, right?
Oh, he didn't call you on the radio?
John got me to prank phone call you. I work at the radio show.
That's not funny. Cái thằng John nó làm ở trong cái tiệm đó, nó gọi cái radio, nói radio gọi làm kêu mình đó.
Okay.
Funny.
All right, then. Sue, I got to ask you, what is the best radio show in the land?
Oh, that's the Steve Harvey show. Yeah, you tell the Steve to come here, get a watch and watch his pants for you.
Okay.
I'll
let him know.
What y'all think?
Oh, this is one of my favorites. That you know that is one of my. I love that. I love that one. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let me put this out there right now.
What's that?
Baltimore, Maryland, the nephew is coming to town at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. There's a show on Thursday, there's two on Friday, two on Saturday. That's this weekend. Guess what? Saturday gone. Sold all the way out. First show Friday gone. Sold out. So you ain't that too many more tickets left. The nephew coming to the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Tickets on sale right now. That's tomorrow night, Thursday. Friday, two shows Saturday. Ain't no sense in looking at Saturday and Friday because they by gone. Thursday, that right. That's what you got left right
two
there. Come hang out with
out
your
boy. At Baltimore yes, Comedy Factory?
Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
Well, boy, you're going to be able to go up to Netflix and you get
washed. Half million. We know half million.
That's just sitting there, Junior. Just sitting there.
Right, half a million.
It's half a million sitting over there.
They got that in the budget. That's in the budget.
Tommy, yes.
You know what, how many comedians has them popped up? Do?
What's your minimum number you would do a special for Netflix?
Now that I would definitely be coming to you asking. I wouldn't.
No,
know
but
what
just go ahead. What you think? Your minimum number for Netflix?
Minimum 100. Can I get 100?
Huh? 100.
Yeah.
We gotta go.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, he's thinking you should have asked for
that,
more.
Can I get that other four she left on it?
All right. Coming up at the top of the hour, Delta Airlines finds itself in kind of the middle of this whole gun debate thing.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, bowing to public pressure, Delta Airlines announced on Saturday that the airlines was dropping its contract with the NRA for low-cost fares for members flying to the group's annual meeting. While the announcement pleased the student activists and those pushing for gun control, as you know, Delta has its headquarters in Atlanta, it's been trying to talk Georgia's Republican-led legislation into giving it a tax break on its purchase of jet fuel, which could add to up to tens of thousands of dollars. Former Republican State Senator Rick Jeffries, who is now running for lieutenant governor, tweeted, "If Delta is so flush that they don't need NRA members' hard-earned dollars, they can certainly do without the $40 million tax break they're asking Georgia taxpayers for." Current Lieutenant Governor and State Senate President Casey Cagle also had a threat for the airline, tweeting, "I will kill any tax legislation that benefits Delta unless the company changes its position and fully reinstates its relationship with the NRA."
See, that wow.
Corporations
that's
can...
That's wild, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah.
Listen
man.
To me. That's yeah. foul on so many
it's,
levels.
It is, man. Steve. It really
that's
is.
All them
so you
all.
Can't stand up for something righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Without the fear of losing
discounts,
a business and all of this here. That's so foul on so many levels. That's how much money the NRA is paying, folks.
Yeah.
You have no idea how much money, how many of these politicians they got in their pocket. And that just goes to show you how many of them are stuffed so deeply into the NRA's mm-hmm. pocket. Mm-hmm.
That's why we can't get the gun laws changed. They support the candidates win, and they're beholden to the NRA.
Yep.
That's what it is, you know?
So now they're trying to tap Delta Airlines?
Yeah.
Man, let me help you understand something. It's finna get ugly, man. Because the NRA can't pull that many strings. It can go badly for them if enough people stick together.
Well, it has to do with voting for sure. Just like Carla just said, it has to do with voting. We have to vote. We have to. We have to vote. Now more than ever.
Yeah.
Because we have to get these gun laws changed. We have to. And they're kind of backpedaling now. You know?
Yeah.
It was big when the kids were out there, you know, the students from Parkland High School mm-hmm. in Florida, when they were out there, you know, when you could see them on the TV. But now it's, you know, each day we don't talk about it as much, you know.
And that's what the students were afraid of.
Man. Yeah. What'd you say, Carla?
That's what the students were afraid of, you guys, because they go back to school today.
Yeah, today.
Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And they were afraid that when they went back to school, their protests and their marching and their wanting change would lose momentum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because so they always do. You know, the momentum is high when the incident happens. Now it's almost 2 weeks and it's starting, you know, to slowly reach, you know, not the lead story anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy. I know.
Well, Steve, you've been saying it's about money and power. You yeah. keep saying that.
But they're still having their march, though, on the 24th of March, right? They're still having that march on Washington, the students.
You think the airlines are backed down, huh?
No. Because let me explain something to you. They want you to believe that the NRA has 14 million people in it. But the NRA claims to have only 5 million members.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So,
see, so what? 5 million people, you're looking at, that's just members. what they're trying to do, it's a real trick that they're doing. They don't really care about that. It's the amount of money that they take from the profits of the gun sales.
Mm-hmm.
That's what drives the NRA, the profit of gun sales.
But I see
it's just to keep that money coming to pay these politicians so they can keep making these guns, making this profit.
I see what the most important amendment is, though, now. All right, Miss Ann is here, Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's here, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you very much, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news, and we're going to get into that a little bit now. Students at Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, go back to class today for a half a day, although some students say they just can't go inside those walls. They say it's like going inside of an airplane after it's crashed. 17 people were killed on Valentine's Day. There will be counselors on the premises to help the students. Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Justice is coming out against a device used to increase the rapid-fire capacity of various rifles. It's called a bump stock. U.S. Attorney General Sessions told a gathering of state attorney generals yesterday about his plans to get rid of it.
Top people in the Department of Justice have believed for some time that we can, through regulatory process, not allow the bump stock to convert a weapon from semi-automatic to fully automatic.
Problem is, an effort to ban the bump stocks fizzled last year, even after the president and some other lawmakers expressed support for it. And that was even after close to 60 people were killed by a gunman at an outdoor country music concert in Vegas. So, you know, got to hold your breath on that one. Meanwhile, a House Intelligence Committee looking into Russia's cyber attacks against the U.S. leading up to the 2016 presidential election questioned the head of the NSA yesterday, Chief Admiral Mike Rogers, with Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal pressing the issue.
Would you agree with me that the Russians have been in no way deterred from this?
Oh, yes, sir. I think that's true.
They're doing it with impunity. They could care less what we think. They're continuing to attack us.
Yes, sir.
So thus far, the response of the United States of America to this ongoing attack has been completely inadequate.
It hasn't changed the calculus, is my sense. It has not changed the calculus or the behavior on the part of the Russians.
When another lawmaker asked the admiral if the president had ever authorized him to disrupt Russia's hacking operation at the source, the head of the NSA said no. The body of the late Reverend Billy Graham lying in repose at the Capitol Rotunda today and Thursday. And today is National Get Rid of the Dummy You've Been Dating Day. Gotta go, gotta go. Be back with more entertainment and today's trending topics 20 minutes after the hour, the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Okay, breaking news. You guys know Safari. You know who he is? He's Nicki Minaj's ex
From
Love and Hip Hop, New York and L.A. Well, he leaked some nude pictures on Twitter. You guys hear about this? And apparently it was a big deal. Okay?
Right,
wink, wink. Ladies are going crazy. They're looking at him very differently. I mean, they're looking at him very differently. You remember that song Nicki Minaj had, Anaconda?
Mm-hmm.
Well, people are suspecting that it may have been about him, about Safari.
Oh, he got his manhood on the social media?
I'm just saying.
Well, I ain't searching for that.
How much money he made?
I don't know how much money he's making. I'm just saying. That's the news.
You know, I'd rather be a bigger man at the bank.
I know. Yeah, I'm sure you would.
I got an anaconda, but I'm broke. I got an anaconda. I can't buy nothing. I got an anaconda. I'm
Who's
in a
music
used
producer,
car. I got an anaconda. I can't go far. I'm out of anaconda. I ain't living in a house. I live in an anaconda. I got a mind like a mouse. I got an anaconda. Everything going wrong. I got an anaconda. Then I never wrote the song. I got an anaconda.
He's so stupid.
Boy, Safari is shutting down social media.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, women are going crazy.
Well, Nicki's still.
So, have y'all seen it?
No. No.
Well, yeah, they done seen it. Yeah,
no, I haven't.
I see what's trending.
Y'all done reported the story, but ain't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it.
I see what's trending.
No, I haven't seen it yet. No. I mean, I haven't seen it.
Shredder, how you missed it?
You said
how you missed the story, Shredder?
I tell you who has looked it up, that damn Monica. I can promise you that.
And you know this, yeah. It was all over social media yesterday, though, guys.
They talking about he from Wakanda.
From Wakanda. With the anaconda and all of that.
Mississippi,
I mean.
You seen it? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I just spell Safri.
Yeah.
S-A-F.
Why do you need to know the spelling of it, Steve?
Because we finna look it up.
Oh, okay.
You can really look up.
Okay. What the hell difference it make to me? I don't give a damn. I ain't never had no damn complaints. I might not be him, but hell, he ain't me. You got to know how to use what you got.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You understand? You got to take what you got and make it work.
You are sexy at you the bank.
Hell, he already done lost Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you wasn't doing something.
The Anaconda couldn't keep that.
Now, hell no.
What is the Safari Challenge? What is going on?
I'm going to get in the Safari Challenge, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to use Photoshop.
Yeah, get in there.
Yeah,
Photoshop I'm going to tell yourself. You right now.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, your friend Dwayne Wade learned that Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School student and shooting victim Joaquin Oliver was buried in D. Wade's Miami Heat jersey, okay? Listen to it now. Dwayne got very emotional. He was very emotional over this. He later took to Twitter to pay his respect to Oliver's memory and re-emphasized why NBA players will remain outspoken on social issues. D-Wade tweeted a picture of Joaquin Oliver with the caption, "This is Joaquin Oliver. He was one of the 17 young lives that were lost tragically at Douglas High School in Parkland. Joaquin was one of many that I heard was excited about my return to Miami and yesterday was buried in my jersey. This is why we will not just shut up and dribble." The last statement, of course, Dwayne, you know, was referring to the Fox newscaster, Miss Arrogant Laura Ingraham, when she said shut up and dribble to LeBron James and Kevin Durant. So there, take that.
What I want to know about her is what qualifies her to be a spokesperson for anything. And, you know, she was making reference to the way the LeBron and Kevin talk. But I keep telling people over and over.
And about how they felt
that
about the president.
The way you sound has nothing to do with your level of intelligence.
Absolutely.
Something well said don't have to be well spoken. See? Mm-hmm. And that's why people, so they try to use their little education like they mo. But this brother that you're telling to shut up and dribble has managed to build a billion-dollar empire. So how stupid is he?
Yeah.
Now you can take your ass to all these colleges and where you at. You on
She's
Fox.
She's on Fox, yeah.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
But what a tribute.
Seems to me like you should have dropped out and got your ass a basketball.
And what a tribute to his love of D-Wade, this young man who got buried in his jersey, you know? I mean, I could see how that would touch Dwayne Wade, you know?
Yeah, he make was tweeting him emotional. About it. He was crying.
Yeah.
He was very emotional. Mm-hmm.
And you know, man, hey, man, these brothers care.
Yeah.
They're people.
Yeah.
They actually care. This generation of ball players, man, are making moves. Mm-hmm. The football players are making moves. They're conscious. And so, and this student body at this Florida school, they're not going to let this go. This is the generation that's going to get it done and change it. And you see how dirty the NIA play now, don't you? They sitting up in here talking about if you don't let these members fly with this discount, you ain't going to get no gas discount. You see how they play?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the money, and they know it.
Yeah.
They know it.
Wow.
Well, don't worry about it, Delta. I'm flying Delta next week.
And your ground, Delta.
Yeah. Yeah, staying.
Wow. I mean, I applaud Delta and United and Avis and
all
Budget Rent-A-Car and all of them.
Everybody.
You know, yeah, who revoked those
all
discounts.
All they got to do is tell them kids. And let them kids get busy. Oh, okay, so excuse me. So you're going to keep gas prices high so the rest of our tickets can stay high because y'all can't get a discount to fly to y'all. And it's just to the meetings.
Yeah.
It's just to the NIA meeting.
Yeah.
Annual meetings. Yeah. Yeah, I think they have them in Dallas or somewhere. Yeah.
We have to put those kids in our prayers today. They're really strong. They're very articulate. But they're very young. Like the young man said, we're just kids. I mean, I think he was 16. We're just kids. And they have to go back to school today, you know?
Yes.
less than 2 weeks, or two man, weeks that, to the day, I should say.
That young kid right, spoke better than the president, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, all of them.
Very man, well spoken.
Yeah.
Hard.
Ain't hard.
That ain't
Tommy,
that
you speak better than
president. That ain't hard.
I heard a baby talk better than the president.
I'm going to just say something real revealing here.
Okay.
This is the first president that has the same vocabulary I got. That's
it's less than that.
That's thought provoking. No.
It's less than that.
Yeah, listen to me.
I think you're a little better.
This is the
Steve.
First president where everything he said I've understood exactly.
So you can be president, bottom line.
And even
line.
At the end of it went, damn.
All right, coming up after this, Nephew Tommy has a prank phone call.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it is today's Strawberry Letter, and you don't want to miss that. But right now, it is the Nephew here with today's prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
Uncle Steve?
My man.
Lester Tucker.
Boy, come on. Come on, shut up.
Black History Month.
Shut your damn mouth.
On the last day?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
This is how you shut it down with Lester Tucker. Yes, I'm trying to reach Lester Tucker.
This is Lester Tucker.
All right, Mr. Tucker, how you doing? This is Curtis Watkins, Soul Brother Number 9. I'm with the BP of A. And,
who?
The BP of A, Black People of America.
What the? Okay.
Well, listen, we're doing a survey today. We're calling a lot of white households, and we're trying to figure out, have y'all been using the N-word in your house? And if you have, how many times are you using the N-word on a daily basis in your house?
The N-word? What kind of survey is that? I don't use the N-word in my house. I got youngins. We don't do that around my house.
Have you been using the N-word at your job?
Oh, hell no. What kind of survey is this?
Oh, no, back the hell up. What did you just say? You got what at your job?
I got black. What the look, what business is this of yours if I use the N-word? I pay the rent in this trailer.
The organization.
I say the N-word if I want to say the N-word.
Hey, hold on. Wait a minute, brother. Now, look.
No, you wait a minute. You called me.
Hey, let me explain something to you, sir. All we're doing is a survey. Now, I will tell you this. We do have surveillances at your place, and we will be trying to figure out if you
are. Surveillance in my trailer?
We will be dictating. We will be trying to figure out if you're using the N-word.
Let me tell you something. If I won't say the N-word, I'll say the N-word. I don't want to say it. If I find some surveillance in my trailer, I will come and kick your Black People's Association. You hear me? You know who you with?
You Lester Tucker, ain't you?
You got right. I'm Lester Tucker.
Well,
why you want to know how many times I say the N-word?
We're trying to get a survey on it, sir. That's what we're trying
survey
to
survey my. You just trying to start some.
I'm Curtis Watkins with Black People of America.
I don't give a who you are, Curtis Watkins.
Sir,
why are you calling my house?
Sir, I'm just here to ask you, have you been using it, and have you been using it at your job?
What did I tell you? I don't use it in my house because I got kids. I don't use it at the job because I got Black people that work for me.
Okay.
I don't want to run them off by calling them names.
Okay, well, when you go down to the club by yourself, are you guys in there using it? Now, come on now, be honest with me. Are you guys in there using it?
Man, let me tell you something. I don't know what the f*** about. But it sounds to me like you said, look, I got black neighbors, all right? I ain't like that.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. When it's just you and them good old boys, when it's just y'all, are you using that N-word?
Well, let me ask you this. When it's just you and your hoodlum little buddies, what the hell do you call white people? You use the word?
I have not used the word, sir.
Oh, why you use I want to get, like I told you, I don't know who the hell you are.
Sir, I'm doing the survey here. You don't survey.
All right. Why were white people of America? How about that? See, we can't have our own association. Oh, hell no. Calling me, asking questions.
Okay, I just got one more thing to tell you. Are you familiar with Williams?
Yeah, he works for me.
Well, this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by Williams. You all right, man? You got kind of riled up, man.
Well, man, you wait till I see that brother.
He told me. He said this white guy is gonna go off. He said, trust me, he does not use the N-word, but just act like he's been using it, and he's gonna go to hell off.
You wait till I see that man today. That's some owes me money anyway. Hell, you wait till I see you.
All right, Lester, calm down. Hey, I got to ask you, man, what's the baddest radio show in the land?
Let me tell you, it's the Steve Harvey Morning Show, and you know how I know? Because them black guys that work for me have that bland every morning in my company.
Huh?
Somebody say something, man. That's how you shut Black History down right there with Lester Tucker.
I love that dude, man.
Are you saying that's how you're ending Black History Month?
Yeah.
That's how I'm ending it. As if it's on shutting down Black History Month.
Yeah, exactly.
As if you're ending it on a high note or something. What?
That's how you, that's a high note to end on with Lester Tucker.
Black History continues for me. Oh my gosh.
Yesterday.
I don't
know. Celebrate March too.
You making history tomorrow too.
I'm gonna be black tomorrow.
Did you all
March
have?
As a matter of fact, black up.
Did you all have any more Black History facts that we may have missed?
No, surely they don't.
Yeah. We do, Carla. Let me put this Black History out there. Baltimore Comedy Factory. The nephew is coming to town. I will be there late tonight. And then Thursday, it jumps off. And I'm calling Thursday night singles night. So all you single ladies and all you single men, come hang out Thursday night.
You're going to be black, Tommy? You're going to be black?
I'm going to be black at the Comedy Factory.
What you got,
Okay, here's what I got. Okay. This is a little-known Black history moment.
Mm-hmm.
Snicker Wilson. Snicker Wilson first black person at a white club to have a white person mispronounce his name. And he thought he said something else and whooped his ass.
He left that S off of there.
I knew that S was coming off.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's great to be here tonight. Guess who we have here tonight?
Yeah. And Snicker went up there and started whooping his ass. And nobody knew why. It's just Snicker was talking.
Yeah.
And in between drinks, he thought the white dude said something else.
Okay, I asked for it, didn't I?
And he was the first person ever in a white club, 1929.
Up in
Harlem. A white club.
No, where was he at?
He was in Brooklyn. He wasn't in Harlem. He was up there. Sinatra and them was performing.
Who named their kid Snicker in the first place?
Snicker Wilson was having a drink laughing, and a white dude announced that he was here, and Snicker misunderstood and ran up on that stage.
He didn't hear that ass.
And whooped his ass for about 5 minutes. White folk didn't know what was going on.
Had a lisp, Steve, the white dude.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Snicker Wilson.
Wait, I got a lisp.
Wait, what?
What? Say it again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Snicker Wilson.
And that brother turned around and charged.
Because
he had a lisp.
Yeah. This is the last day of Black History Month, you guys.
Kelly.
What?
How you do it.
Kelly, it's okay. It's what we're here for.
Oh, man. I love that.
Snicker Wilson!
Little known facts.
He came full speed, didn't he?
George. That's crazy.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Come on, Steve. Give it to me.
You got one, Junior?
Yeah, I got one. I think we all know this brother here, though.
Who?
James Anthony Brown.
Jay?
Better known as J. Anthony Brown.
Yeah, we know Jay, yeah.
Yeah, well, Jay is the first person to ever lie about his age just so he could keep working.
What are you saying, Junior?
J. Anthony Brown is the first person we know to ever change their age just so they could keep working. Jay ain't really 65.
What? How old is he?
About 110.
No, he is not.
Yeah, yeah. Don't nobody's hand just automatically dry out, Shirley.
AARP.
What's that?
Has asked Jay to please quit calling down there. He has used all his benefits. We've never had anybody use more benefits from this program than you, sir.
J-O.
But shout out again to Snickers, please.
Man, ladies and gentlemen, we got a dignitary here in the building tonight. Come on over, Snicker Wilson!
All right, coming up at the top of the hour.
Wait.
He talking to me?
Turn it up, sugar!
Coming up at the top of the hour, as I was saying, today's Strawberry Letter.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Before we get to today's Strawberry Letter, did you guys hear this? While slamming the sheriff's deputies who didn't engage the shooter at Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida earlier this month, President Trump claimed that the president said this, he would have run to the school, into the school himself, even if he didn't have a weapon.
He lying. Man, please.
But, come on now. Yeah. But then White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders walked back Trump's imagined heroics. She said, I think he was just stating that as a leader, he would have stepped in and hopefully been able to help.
Boy, but that's not what he said. Up,
yeah,
she?
That is definitely yeah. not what he said. But
well,
okay.
No, he meant what he said, mm-hmm. except he wouldn't have done that. But
yeah, no, you know, come on.
Rich people don't run into the line of fire.
No.
Now, parents in there had been outside and their baby was in there.
Oh, absolutely.
That school would have been full
yeah.
of parents.
Yeah, that's
now, some
true.
People gonna run in there about their kids.
Yeah,
yeah.
You could believe that.
Yeah.
And I can't see Trump running into nothing.
Nothing. Come on.
No.
And Steve, did you hear this? That President Trump has already named his campaign manager for his reelection bid in 2020.
I ain't got no problem with that.
Yeah, he's already named him. He is
no
Brad Parscale. He's a digital media and political strategist. He served as a digital media director for Trump 2016. So there
well, let
you
me
go.
Tell you something. If the Democratic Party
That's right.
don't get themselves together,
come on,
he going to win again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because right now, the Democrats are doing the same thing the Republicans did
yeah.
to Obama. They spent 8 years hating everything about him that they didn't prepare a candidate. And if the Democrats don't smarten up and learn from this lesson, I got that you got to call him on everything. I ain't saying you shouldn't. Go ahead and do that. But if the Democrats don't smarten up and prepare a candidate, this man gonna win again.
Yeah. He's already That's preparing right, Steve. To.
I'm telling you, man,
right
yeah. we've got to prepare a candidate for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to start looking at them right now
yeah.
and start getting them in the position and start saying the right things.
Bakari,
and start collecting your money. Because let me tell you something, they're going to throw some money behind Trump.
Oh, yeah, the NRA. Bakari Sellers said he knows he would get in trouble for saying this. He says, but I'm going to say it. He said they're too old, the Democrats. He said Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders.
There, huh?
Yeah, he says, yeah. you know, they need younger, new life.
He's telling the
new
truth.
Life into the Democratic Party. He
He's
was saying
telling
that.
The truth.
Yeah.
Look, it's what I said to the audience yesterday, because I have a lot of millennials that come to my show.
Right.
And I just okay. had to admit, I love millennials because I love my kids,
mm-hmm.
because they keep me relevant. Mm-hmm. Man, they say stuff to me, man, that I don't even be thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They keep you relevant. These young kids in Florida, they gonna do something.
Yeah.
The Democratic Party, we don't have a prepared. Bernie Sanders can't run.
No, Hillary can't run.
Hillary can't ever run for anything again.
No.
They can't. Bernie can't run again. We didn't even know if he was going to make it to this one.
You always said that.
You stopped.
You said
can't
that.
Can't keep looking at this man banking on yeah. FOMO.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Joe Biden is a great choice, but even he
run.
Even I don't know. Even
is
he at this
up
point.
To it?
Yeah,
is he up
even
for all
at,
that?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got to do something, man.
All right, we have to move on. Take us to the letter.
What is Stacey Dash running for?
Yeah, we're going to
talk about
that
a little
situation.
Later. Yeah,
okay.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
All right, take
All right.
us
Buckle
to the letter.
Up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the Strawberry Letter.
Subject, fifth time's a charm. Dear Shirley, I listen to your show all the time, and I laugh at some of the letters I hear. However, looking at my own life, I realize that I need to write a letter my darn self.
My damn self.
That's what it
the
says.
The letter say write a letter
say
my damn
self. Say what it say, man. You
know? See, Steve just said it. Steve just said it, okay?
Like she can say what she want to say.
Like she don't say damn. She doesn't say damn.
What you
I don't say it on the radio if I do say it.
Tommy, what?
Go ahead, Shirley.
Anyway, yeah, let me finish.
I'll fire right off interrupting when I ain't supposed to.
See, I'm a married man of 6 years. I love my wife. I have since we both said I love you for the first time. I made a promise to her and myself that I would never betray her. Well, I did anyway, several times. Yes, that's right, like all the other cats out there, some time ago, I cheated with a few women. My wife knows about my exploits, and we've since been to counseling about it. She has forgiven me. She has since forgiven me and moved on enough to produce our first child. I look at him and I am terrified that in addition to his father being an adulterer, he will end up just like his father, weak in the ways of relationships. What I did is a total lack of appreciation for my wife and all she has given me. As far as I know, she has strayed. As far as I know, she hasn't strayed, but if she has or ever does, I don't blame her and probably wouldn't be mad if she did. What really scares me is I can't stop looking at other women and wanting what I can't have. It's uncontrollable. It's a serious problem. I haven't done anything since the incident, but it's getting harder and harder to resist the urges. Recently, after speaking with a psychiatrist, I found that I have bipolar disorder / borderline personality disorder. It explains why I have sudden euphoric bursts and uncontrolled energy and destructive low points. I have medication and a treatment program, but it doesn't help me with the fact that I hurt the one person on the planet that loves me completely. I don't know what to do now or where to go to make amends or to take away the guilt and regret. Please help me. My brother, thanks for writing. You know, I guess I, along with so many other women in the world, we really do not get why men cheat. We don't get why you guys can't keep it in your pants. But here's what I do get about your letter. You admitted it. You guys sought help together. And the best thing for you of all of this is that your wife has forgiven you in spite of all of this. And she's moved on. She had a baby and everything. But you can't seem to move on. You know, you're even thinking negative things about your son one day being a player. You know, we're not doctors, we're not psychiatrists, we're none of that. We have our opinions and we give our advice on these situations. But, you know, you've had counseling. I think you need more. You've seen a psychiatrist. You've been diagnosed. You have prescriptions. You have your meds. Everything's in place for you to now do the right thing. You know, if there's nothing else medically wrong with you, and there might be, I don't know. You know, but that's the hardest thing sometimes, to forgive yourself, even if family and God have forgiven you. So I say you can change if you really want to. You know, if you really want to change and you don't want to be stuck where you are right now. You know, just stop. You can stop cheating. 12. It's not that hard, is it?
Well,
men.
Yeah, well, we'll be back and coming from a man's view. I'll tell you all about
please,
it.
Soon let us come know.
I will let you know about
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. We'll have part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Let's get to part two of your response to today's strawberry letter.
If you want to.
We do.
Mine right.
Okay, here
back
we go.
Up,
here's
okay?
the strawberry letter. Fifth yeah. time a charm. Dear Shirley, I listen to your show all the time. How come he didn't say Steve? Well, what's up?
No.
Oh, he didn't want my
friend. Nah.
I don't
he's
know,
scared
boo.
Of, he's scared
oh.
of your reply, big dog.
I don't know.
Oh. What'd you say, Shirley?
I don't know, oh. boo.
No, boo.
Well, that changes things then, booette. Dear Shirley, I listen to your show all the time and I laugh at some of the letters I hear.
Hush, yo.
However, looking at my own life, I realize that I need to write my damn self. See, I'm a married man of 6 years. I love my wife, have since we both said I love you for the first time. I made a promise to her and myself that I would never betray her. Well, I did anyway, several times. Yes, that's right. Like all other cats out there, some time ago, I cheated with a few women. My wife knows about my exploits, and we've since been to counseling about it. She has since forgiven me and moved on enough to produce our first child. I look at him, and I am terrified that in addition to his father being an adulterer, he will end up just like his father, weak in the ways of relationships. What I did was a total lack of appreciation for my wife and all she has given me. As far as I know, she hasn't strayed, but if she ever has or ever does, I don't blame her and probably wouldn't be mad if she did. What really scares me if I can't stop looking at women and wanting what I can't have. It's uncontrollable. It's a serious problem. I haven't done anything since the incident, but it's getting harder and harder to resist the urges. Recently, after speaking with a psychiatrist, I found that I have bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder. It explains why I have sudden euphoric burst of uncontrolled energy and I can't stand this letter. And destructive low point.
Crazy letter.
I have medication and a treatment program, but it doesn't help me with the fact that I hurt the person, one person on the planet that loves me uncontrollably. I mean, completely. I don't know what to do now or where to go to make amends, to take away the guilt and regret. Please help me. Okay. I hadn't even noticed that in the letter, but let's just start at the bottom.
Cold crack it.
Mm-hmm. Crack it, crack it.
He says he done went and got help about this problem.
Yeah.
He done went to a psychiatrist and found out that he has bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder.
What that is on?
Oh, now that's it now. Oh, that's why men cheat now. Because everybody bipolar, borderline personality disorder.
Y'all are crazy.
Nah, which explains why I have sudden euphoric burst. Oh, that's what we going to call that, too. It's a euphoric burst now. And he's now taking medication and in the treatment program. Oh, you can do that now. Well, Mr. Dude that went on and fell into the system with your stupid ass, let me inform you of a few things. First of all, you can get up off the psychiatrist's couch because you ain't bipolar / borderline personality disorder. You don't have sudden euphoric burst, and you ain't got no medicine and a treatment program that's working. You like sex. That's what you got. You like sex. You like having it. And you like having it with damn near everybody you see.
Say it on.
That's really your problem.
Ain't no
medicine or no treatment for that. Right. And you can't get that. Now, you're going to let a psychiatrist sit you and tell you that, and that explains your sudden euphoric outburst. Well, I wish I wasn't on the radio so I could really tell you what them euphoric outbursts is. Just because you thinking with the wrong body part. That's what's really wrong. Until you decide as a man to honor your commitment, the promises you make, until you say you're going to keep the promise, you can get up off the couch. You can quit taking the pills and you quit going to the meeting. Until you say you're going to honor the commitment to this woman that you promised her you would make, you can get up off all that. I don't care what nobody say. You can bring Dr. Phil on here. You can bring Dr. Feel Good on here. I don't care what nobody say. Until a man make up in his mind that he is going to keep his promises, you can forget all of this here. And the statement you make, yes, that's right, like all the other cats out there,
right.
I cheated. Hold up. First of all men don't cheat. Why men that's cheat, right. And let me tell you why men don't cheat. First of all, men do not equate sex to commitment. We never have. The sexual part has nothing to do with commitment at all.
You're speaking truth, man.
Sex to us outside of our relationship don't mean nothing to a man. Now, ladies, you probably sitting up there, how could it not? You have such an intimate act. It's an intimate act to you. It ain't to him. It ain't. Men don't. What he got at home ain't got nothing to do with what's out there in the street. That ain't how a man look at it. Mm-hmm. That thing over there don't mean nothing to me. What means something to him is at the house. I'm just telling you the truth. You ain't got to like this answer. This is just how men think. Mm-hmm. So when a man go outside the house, he think as long as he taking care of home, he cool. Secondly, cheating is a taught behavior. We are taught this from the early age. Look at video. Ain't no dude in there with one girl. Dude in there with a whole lot of girls. You taught by your brothers, play the field. You taught by your mother, play the field. You ain't got to be just hooked up with her. You need to date around. Every woman tell it to her son. Let a young boy 16 come in the house talking about, I got this one woman, she the one for me. Boy, you don't know nothing about it. You better just go on a date. Everybody feeds that to their children. Everybody I know. Now, if somebody in there talking about you 16, that's the girl for you for the rest of your life, go on, y'all settle down. If somebody teaching that to their kid, I have yet to hear it yet. Cheating is a taught behavior. It is something that boys are taught the whole lot of time. And it is your first foray into this thing called glory.
Mm. All right, listen, Steve, we got to go. Coming up in about 10 minutes, LeBron, Philly? Question mark?
Hmm.
What?
Philly?
LeBron ain't going to Philly.
He ain't going to Philly.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
The Oscars.
One more time, Lee Cleveland. That's all.
The Oscars are this weekend, and the movie Three Billboards is nominated. I saw that movie. It's a great movie. Yeah. But here is the kicker. The City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, decided to do a scene from the movie. The 76ers posted three billboards in Cleveland along Interstate 480, Steve, to entice LeBron James to leave Cleveland and come play for the 76ers. The billboard has a picture of LeBron and four blue jersey numbers to match the sum of the 76ers players.
No. Now, you got the Super Bowl.
The Eagles.
The hell?
Why all the tension in your voice?
No, we're not having that. He all we got. Now, Philly, you got a Super Bowl, and I was pulling for you.
Yeah,
what you're not going to do is get the Super Bowl and then take LeBron. I'm going to be through with y'all ass. Y'all have won a Super Bowl. You got the Phillies.
Yeah.
We coming up there. You got the big African and that light skin boy jumping all out the damn GM Simmons. What you're not going to do is get LeBron.
Joel
now I'm putting
B.
my foot
ben
down
Simmons.
Right here.
You mad about this one, Steve?
No, hell yeah. No, hell yeah. Hell yeah,
but
Baltimore came and took our damn
up,
football
Steve.
Team. Then they went to the damn Super Bowl. We ain't been nowhere. You ain't taking another sports franchise from us. No damn body.
All right, again, the billboard has
Sounds
a picture.
Sounds like, damn that billboard. Quit talking about it.
It has a picture of LeBron,
of
though, Steve. Yeah.
I don't
and
care.
Four blue jersey numbers to match the sum
I
of
don't
the.
Give a damn. You can take these billboards down. Listen to me. Listen to me. You can put my big lip ass up on them billboards.
Yeah. Your
that's
what?
All you going to get.
Put
you
what?
Put my big lip ass up on them billboards. With them numbers up there next to my lips and mustache, because you got me on 105 WDAF, but you're not
you
going to get LeBron.
Already.
You got a piece of Cleveland up there. You ain't getting no damn more. You got some Detroit up there. You got Frankie Darcelle. You're not
yes.
getting no more.
Quit being greedy.
You greedy ass. You got a Super Bowl. Sitting up in here, now you want LeBron too.
Steve, have you spoken to LeBron about this at
all? I ain't got to speak to LeBron. I'm talking to Philly. Now, if you get LeBron, we want the big African and the yellow boy.
He going to have all three of them.
I want big ass DaBeeb and Simmons.
Uh-huh.
We are not. I am home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
But Shirley, you were trying to tell Steve. They
yeah,
have three
billboards.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. One has a picture of LeBron and four blue jersey numbers to match the sum of the 76ers players. Complete the process, the next billboard says. Trust the process. Listen, Steve. And the third billboard says, it just says it, Steve. Philly wants LeBron.
Trade out.
Well, damn it, what you
Trade
think
out.
Cleveland wants? Philly want LeBron. L.A. want LeBron. Houston want LeBron. Everybody want LeBron.
Who don't want LeBron?
Hell. New York want LeBron.
I did not
Hell,
know
the Pelicans
that.
Want LeBron. Hell, the Spurs want LeBron.
Golden State will take LeBron.
Golden State greedy ass will take LeBron.
They got everybody.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Not getting nothing else. I'm sick of this right here. We're not going to discuss this no damn more.
I don't want him.
So Philly take all them punk ass billboards down. And don't let me hear no more about these billboards. Another
that's
damn word
Cleveland.
About these billboards. Philly want LeBron. Ain't that about nothing.
Great.
Well, America want Obama, but he gone.
Ain't that,
that is true, though. Say
ain't
that again.
In here, man. So damn, what Philly want?
They want somebody
and
from Cleveland. Who would you
the
give?
Billboards
who could
right
they have?
By the Quicken Loans Arena.
Who can they have?
Yeah, just tell who they can have.
We got two water boys.
But you're not getting LeBron. That's not
LeBron. All right, dare I say it one last time, that third billboard? Philly wants LeBron.
Three billboards. That's a good movie out.
On this show.
What? Excuse me, what you say?
You're not going to say that no more on this show. I don't care what Philly does with they greedy ass. She didn't want a damn Super Bowl.
That's a different sport.
Yeah, this is basketball, hey, Steve. This is basketball.
Same city, though.
No, it's the same city. You can't keep taking stuff from us.
You can't have one title per
sport. We got a baseball team that can compete. At least they could. They make us think they're going to do something. They got to the damn Super Bowl.
But Steve,
I mean, to the World Series.
What if LeBron wants to go?
Anybody ask LeBron what he wants?
LeBron.
Cleveland,
this ain't about what LeBron wants. It's more us in Cleveland than it is. It's one LeBron. It's a whole lot of us.
Give the people what the people want.
Now LeBron want. Gonna find, hey, listen to me now. LeBron gonna mess around and piss off black folks. See, white folks was mad before.
This time around,
you make us mad, it's different.
Oh, what's going on?
You mess around and get your little damn car turned.
Steve, don't say that.
Don't do that.
LeBron, now listen to me. In all honesty,
yes,
there's a possibility he could leave.
Aw.
But it ain't
Philly. You know, it's the business. And I really.
Free agency.
Technically. Uh-huh. Technically, if I was him, uh-huh, I got to go where the money is.
That's uh-huh. Okay.
Is it about money still at this point with him?
It's always. Always. Everybody. About money, Shirley.
Just asking. I mean, I know he still has loyalty and love for Cleveland.
So, well, so what is Philly putting up billboard?
He loves Cleveland.
You know, we so show about all this loyalty and love. What is the billboard?
Hey, listen, coming up at the top of the hour, I don't think we're finished with this conversation, but coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to talk more about basketball. The Golden State Warriors were in Washington, D.C. yesterday. We'll talk about that when we come back.
I know they've not been at that White House. They was at the White House.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, we're still on this basketball thing. The Golden State Warriors were in Washington, D.C. yesterday, and as you know, the traditional champion's invitation to visit the White House was never granted from President Trump. Remember, he took the invitation back, and it didn't matter because Steph Curry, head coach Steve Kerr, Kevin Durant, and all of them didn't want to go to the White House anyway, so there. So instead, yesterday, the Warriors spent the day in Washington, D.C. with local children from the D.C. area. Warriors star Klay Thompson said yesterday, "We're not going to politicize anything. We're just going to hang out with some kids, take them to an African-American museum, and hopefully teach them things we learned along the way and some life lessons. We'll still be getting some great memories.
That was good.
Yeah.
Very good, yeah. I mean, how do you extend an invitation and then take it back anyway?
Because that's when you know how ain't nobody you, coming. So you don't
right.
Egg
yeah.
Face.
You don't
how do you tell women that you're going to grab them by the pee and become president?
Mm-hmm. Hello. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you claim that people on both sides of a protest in Virginia, one of them was Klansmen, skinheads,
mm-hmm. white nationalists.
And white nationalists. Mm-hmm. Oh. Why do you? And how can you say there's good people on both sides?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how can you be in a hate group and be a good person? I'm confused.
Yeah, we can ask those questions all day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's because he's drained the swamp as he promised, and filled it with all new creatures. Mm. We want Bush. We want Bush. We
never want thought Bush.
That. Never thought
we
I'd hear that.
We want Reagan. We want anybody. Reagan. Never thought you'd say that, did you?
Mm-mm.
You're
Nixon.
One of them right now, won't you?
Bush was at home said, I'll be
Nixon.
Back. Nixon. Watergate.
We
all
want
of that.
Washington.
I like Nixon, though.
Listen. Yeah.
No, Nixon was one of my coolest dudes. I love him because he just tried to lie the whole way out.
Yeah.
I am not
a
crook.
Till he resigned. Okay. Now, switching gears. Kim Kardashian's sister, beauty mogul Kylie Jenner, has just had a beautiful baby girl, okay? Her name is Stormy. Well, Kylie got a push present. That's what they call presents they give to new moms, push presents, from her baby daddy, hip-hop artist Travis Scott. She got a Ferrari LaFerrari with red interior and the butterfly doors, you know, the ones that go up. The sticker price runs at $1.4 million. Even Kylie's famous sisters, who flaunt an extravagant lifestyle on social media, think that Ferrari is too much. They think it's a bit much. Now that she's a mom, the family believes 20-year-old Kylie ought to tone it down a bit. A source told People magazine, quote, "Everyone thinks it's the most ridiculous gift ever. Kylie has been obsessed with cars. She likes to show off her wealth." And I mean, this is like her third or something Ferrari. Didn't her ex give her a couple of Ferraris on her birthday and stuff? Yeah, Tyga, he gave her a couple. But did you get a push present from your husband, Carla? Just asking.
Yes, I did. A Prada bag, not a Ferrari.
Push it, girl. Push that bag.
Push
it, Carla. Yes, I did. A Prada bag.
Yeah, a Prada bag. Baby. Yeah. Prada bag. Any more questions?
Yeah, he's cute.
Thank you, baby. That's all.
I don't think I got a push present.
That's all.
I didn't get a push present.
You didn't get a push present?
I didn't get one. Nope. Okay.
You did?
Mm-mm. I didn't get one.
Ask the guys that they give
yeah.
the push.
What did you guys give? Did you give Marjorie?
I've never heard of that.
Well, you know, it's new kind of too.
My first kids was born. I was so damn poor. For the push gift I bought two onesies down at the gift.
Oh, the hospital?
They were $32 a piece. My mama talked about me so bad. You don't buy no onesies for no baby out no gift shop at the hospital. Them same onesies is $2 at Walmart.
That's right, Mom.
Yes. Tommy?
I bought her a stroller so she could push the baby.
That's not for her.
It's not a
That's
push.
For the baby.
Yeah.
You have to. What did you get her, your baby mama, your wife?
For having the baby?
Yes.
What I'm supposed I didn't get her nothing.
What, well, you what? Owe her.
I didn't
I
get
owe
anything.
She the one wanted the baby.
But no, she couldn't do it without you, crazy.
So I did my part.
All that she went through, all the pushing.
Right. I was there when she was pushing the whole time. I was right there with her. Push,
and a push present is a gift
breathe,
to say
stop.
Thank
what?
You.
Yeah. I got nothing.
Why am I telling her thank you when she the one wanted the baby?
This fool.
Jackie wanted all these damn
Well, at least you got a bag,
here.
Carla. All right. Tommy, you just brought this up. Stacey Dash has filed paperwork to run for Congress.
Can she spell Congress?
The actress, best known for her role as Dion in what? Clueless. Yes. Will run as a Republican for a seat in California's 44th congressional district, which comprises the cities of Compton, Watts, San Pedro, and North
Long Beach. You trying to get the black vote?
Stacey Dash down in Compton.
What'd you say, Steve? I didn't hear you.
Ain't nobody vote for Stacey Dash down in Compton.
What about Watts?
Come on.
No, the machine up and down there.
Them polls closed. Two votes.
Her slogan, now she does have a slogan she's preparing. She is a Republican. Her slogan is Dash to D.C.
Clueless.
That's not in there. It is Dash to D.C. Stacey tweeted, formal statements coming. For those mocking for the district I live in, open your minds. It's time for me to put up or shut up, and I want to serve great people.
Stacey ain't never
Stacey down in living Compton?
No.
Stacey ain't never been there.
Stacey down in what?
Stacey don't know the way to Compton.
Do you know the way?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess in her mind, hell, she's been done away with it.
What, Steve?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, entertainment news. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but despite divorce, two people that we know and love, Dwayne Martin and Tisha Campbell have decided to call it quits. Yeah. Dwayne Martin says he and Tisha are forever family. They've officially split. In case you missed it, Tisha recently filed for divorce after 22 years of marriage. The couple have two children together. Yeah, it's really sad. And
I
in a statement,
they was a cool couple, man.
Really cool. In a statement via Twitter, Tisha said she's asking for people to respect her family's privacy during this painful and emotional time. She also added that her future ex-husband, Dwayne, said they are family forever. Very sad, yeah. Man. 22
just
years
on my show,
marriage?
Too.
They're talking about a Martin reboot, too. All,
yes,
yeah.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, divorce is really hard, yeah.
It's hard. Especially with children involved. Mm-hmm.
It's very, very hard. Very
you know
hard.
Who else is divorcing, too, Shirley and Carl?
No, who?
Who?
Marlena and Curtis. They... Y'all don't know
who
them, but
who
they
over
in Third Ward. They ask that y'all respect their privacy as well.
Third Ward in Houston.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Are these Marlene your neighbors, Junior?
No, Marlene and Curtis. No, they just two people I know that just getting divorced. They just asked.
Okay.
I didn't know if this was some little-known black history that we
No.
Because a lot of people getting divorced, they want their privacy respect.
Yeah.
You know,
and
yeah.
My Aunt Agnes and Uncle Willis is calling it crits after 68 years.
Six,
68
years.
Yeah.
How old are they?
They 80 something right now.
Man.
Yeah.
So
but, she said she wasn't washing him no more.
You really have
and
a problem
he
with
could
that.
Just, you know, sit over there and just his ass can rot for all she can.
So she wants a divorce?
Yeah, she's out. She's just gonna leave. They don't have nothing to split. They asking for anybody that can chip in to get the $750 where they can file paperwork.
They going
they got a GoFundMe account that their granddaughter set up for them to get a divorce. It only gonna cost $750. There's no assets.
Why can't she just hire a home health care person?
She said they had assets, but then he sat on here so long till it now requires washing, and she don't even want that no more.
Really?
It's a lot of divorces, sure. You need to respect everybody.
So we need to go down. And it ain't just Tisha and Martin. So it's some other divorces.
Jennifer Aniston and her husband. Yeah.
She probably still love Brad.
That's what everybody wants them, her and Brad to get back together.
Ladies.
Brad is single. Yes, Tommy. Yes.
If you mean
Jennifer Aniston for Angelina Jolie.
For nothing. For nothing.
I wouldn't have left Jennifer Aniston. Period.
Period.
Oh,
if y'all husbands get sick, y'all ready to wash?
In sickness and health.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah. Rich or poor.
I've already
how many washings you think before?
What,
Steve?
You I've already told her. We got to have money for somebody to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to do that. And then
you got
to
budget.
You have to put that in the budget.
You got to wash your baby,
I'm not going to be able to do that and then carry you to dinner.
You got to wash
Steve,
your baby,
I love
man.
How you keep it real, though. I do. I love how you
now,
keep
I'm just
it real.
I'm sitting over there watching everything. I got the touch now.
Yeah. It doesn't say that in the vows.
So it don't
what,
say,
to
it
touch
say
that?
Sickness and health. It ain't say nothing about required washing.
Right. It does not say that. It does not say that.
I'm going to stay with you, but you're sick, but I'm not going to wash.
I'm with you when you're right,
and
Steve Harvey.
Yes, you can. You know, my grandfather did that for my grandmother. He washed it and everything. Saw my grandmother back, all them rolls on it. Ooh, Papa.
Oh, okay. We'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right. Bowing to public pressure, Delta Airlines announced on Saturday that the airlines was dropping its contract with the NRA for low-cost fares for members flying to the group's annual meeting. While the announcement pleased the student activists and those pushing for gun control, as you know, Delta has its headquarters in Atlanta, it's been trying to talk Georgia's Republican-led legislation into giving it a tax break on its purchase of jet fuel, which could add to up to tens of thousands of dollars. Former Republican State Senator Rick Jeffries, who is now running for lieutenant governor, tweeted, "If Delta is so flush that they don't need NRA members' hard-earned dollars, they can certainly do without the $40 million tax break they're asking Georgia taxpayers for." Current Lieutenant Governor and State Senate President Casey Cagle also had a threat for the airline, tweeting, "I will kill any tax legislation that benefits Delta unless the company changes its position and fully reinstates its relationship with the NRA."
See, that wow.
Corporations
that's
can...
That's wild, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah.
Listen
man.
To me. That's yeah. foul on so many
it's,
levels.
It is, right? Steve. It really
that's
is.
All them so you all. Can't stand up for something righteous mm-hmm. without the fear of losing...
discount
a business and all of this here. That's so foul on so many levels. That's how much money the NRA is paying, folks.
Yeah.
You have no idea how much money, how many of these politicians they got in their pocket. And that just goes to show you how many of them are stuffed so deeply into the NRA's mm-hmm. pocket. Mm-hmm.
That's why we can't get the gun laws changed. They support the candidates win, and they're beholden to the NRA.
Yep.
That's what it is, you know?
So now they're trying to attack Delta Airlines? Yeah. Man, let me help you understand something. It's finna get ugly, man. Because the NRA can't pull that many strings. It can go badly for them if enough people stick together.
Well, it has to do with voting, for sure. Just like Carla just said, it has to do with voting. We have to vote. We have to. We have to vote. Now more than ever.
Yeah.
Because we have to get these gun laws changed. We have to. And they're kind of backpedaling now. You know, it was big when the kids were out there, you know, the students from Parkland High School in Florida, when they were out there, you know, when you could see them on the TV. But now it's, you know, each day we don't talk about it as much, you know.
And that's what the students were afraid of. Yeah.
What'd you say, Carla?
That's what the students were afraid of, you guys, because they go back to school today.
Yeah, today.
Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And they were afraid that when they went back to school, their protests and their marching and their wanting change would lose momentum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because so they always do. You know, the momentum is high when the incident happens. Now it's almost 2 weeks and it's starting, you know, to slowly reach, you know, not the lead story anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy. I know.
Well, Steve, you've been saying it's about money and power. You keep saying that.
But they're still having their march, though, on the 24th of March, right? They're still having that march on Washington, the students.
You think the airlines are backed down, huh?
No, because let me explain something to you. They want you to believe that the NRA has 14 million people in it. But the NRA claims to have only 5 million members.
Coming up, our last break of the day and Steve's closing remarks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, our last break of the day. Just one more thing, your closing remarks.
You know, normally my closing remarks, I try to take some time to encourage people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But today, I'm going to step away from that. These closing remarks ain't about nobody but me today. These closing remarks is a song that's dear to my heart. And if I was a lounge singer, this is the song that I would want to destroy. J. Anthony has Murder the Hits.
Uh-huh.
This is called Do the Damn Hits. Roscoe Wallace singing Brenda Russell's Get Here. I don't know how this gonna go. It's just something I always wanted to do, so let me go on in. I'm gonna go get Roscoe, Tommy, if you don't mind. I'd like an introduction.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you've never seen the legendary, put your hands together because he is here, the one and only Roscoe Wallace!
No, they ain't. No, they ain't. No, they ain't. What's up, Tommy?
What's going on, Roscoe? How
what's going
doing,
on,
man?
Baby? Junior.
Roscoe, my hero.
My man, what's going on with you?
Ain't nothing, man.
Hey, what's going on with you?
Hey, Roscoe.
How you feeling?
Been a minute.
Y'all been gone for a while. You feel? Have you developed any feeling for me?
Roscoe.
Any at all?
I'm married, Roscoe.
I don't want your husband. I just want you to have some type of feeling for me, just in any way. Summer hang some hope on.
I love your music, Roscoe.
Well, girl, come on, love, that's in the air.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, we know who don't care about me, but she anyway. What's up, Carly?
What's up? You got that right. Hey, Roscoe.
Ain't nothing wrong. Y'all ain't got to have a hater.
Ain't nobody hating on you. What you
know what they say? You know what they say? Hey, hate will make you greater.
Whatever.
Listen.
What?
I know Steve normally do closing remark right here, but he couldn't think of nothing. So.
That's why.
I kept it 100.
That's why. Yeah.
And you've been seeing us every morning, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you want to do something special for the, this goes out for the ladies. I was watching Steve talk show yesterday. And this lady said she can't find nobody on Tinder. Well, a man in the audience was saying he was having trouble meeting women at a gym. She lived in New York. He lived in L.A. I said, well, Tinder. Why don't y'all get together? She said, but we stay so far apart. And I started singing this song yesterday.
Okay.
And boy, let me tell you something. I bought the house down.
He did.
So I just wanted to give it to you. This is Get Here by Brenda Russell or Lee Adams.
Yeah.
Mm. Whoever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can reach me by railway. Uh-huh. You can reach me by trailway. You can reach me on an airplane. You can reach me with your mind. You can reach me by caravan. Yeah.
Look at him.
Cross the desert like an Arab man. I don't care. No, I don't. How you get here, get here if you can. Here we go, let me check it out. You can reach me by sailboat.
Come on.
Climb a tree. This in love now. Climb a tree and swing rope to rope. That Tarzan right there. Take a sled and slide down the slope.
Uh-huh.
Into these arms of mine.
Sing it, Roscoe.
You can jump on a speedy coat. Woo! That's a horse.
You feeling it?
Cross the border on a blaze of hope. That's an immigrant. I don't care how you get here. Just get here if you can. There are hills and mountains between us. That's to Trump build that wall. Always something to get over. But if I had my way, come on now. Surely you, I need you closer. You can win, surf into my life. That probably gonna be a white man. Take me up on a carpet ride. That's somebody doing drugs. You can make it in a big balloon.
Right, right.
But you better make it soon. You can reach me by a caravan. Yeah. I said this before.
Yeah.
Cross the desert like an Arab man. I don't care.
One more time.
I see. I don't care.
Come on, crescendo.
I see. I don't care how you get here.
Yeah.
But get your ass. Bring your home.
Chocolate.
Huh.
Hey, man, you
got to
give some more
heat. Boy, say it so right there.
We got to go, Roscoe. That was great.
Thank you for having me. You know what? I'll be making it up here. Once a week, I'm going to close out with a hit. Thank you. Get here.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.